Do you experience joy? But I have some questions first. Are you facing trials? Are you experiencing overwhelming circumstances, even to the point of tears? How was last week? How do you think next week's going to be? But I want to follow up with another question. Have you ever truly, really experienced joy? Are you enjoying a feeling of great delight and happiness to the point that you radiate joy? Okay, my questions may at first seem like water and oil, not quite blending together, but for Christians, they really do. They all work together, and I will show that from the Bible in this sermonette. Joy itself is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We read about the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in Galatians 5, and particularly in verse 22, love comes first and then joy. It's a fruit. It's a product of having God's Holy Spirit within us. So my pitch today has to do with producing that by the way we live. It follows that we should be living in such a way as to have joy in our lives. We have a role in it. It's not something that, you know, the wand goes out and touches the shoulder or the forehead and you get joy. No, it's a matter of building a life with the power of God's Holy Spirit. And I'll go through a couple of examples here. I want to talk about Jesus a little bit relative to joy. And then talk about Christians a little bit. John 17 and verse 13. In this prayer by Jesus Christ, he asks the Father several things and mentions several things before him. And as he's praying, he says in verse 13, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they," and he's talking about his disciples, both the current ones he had, and as we read on in chapter 17, he even includes those who would come afterwards. But again, back to the verse, "that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." That's quite a request on the part of Jesus Christ. You have to wonder sometimes, how did he, with all that he suffered, really experience joy? Well, the Bible answers that, and I'll get to that in a couple of references here in a minute. But also notice Philippians 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How is that possible? Well, it's through the Holy Spirit of God, of course. And other scriptures talk about us having the very mind of Christ implanted within us or accessible for us. And it talks about bringing every thought that we think into the captivity of Jesus. So it's quite a relationship. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through, I'll go through, I think I'll just stick to Hebrews 12:2 here. one thing about notes, unless they're very clear. I stumbled here a bit. Hebrews 2 and verse 12 and verse 2, Paul again writing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. He focused on this joy that was set before him. He went through some tough times, we know. He was murdered. He was rejected. He was not highly esteemed in his lifetime by many. Some, yes. Some worshipped him and knew that he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. But overall, it was a battle. But what did he do? He looked to the joy that was set before him. He knew where all of this would end up. What he was doing had a purpose, an incredible, unbelievable purpose. Now, I want to talk about Christians a little bit. James 1, and some of you, if you're trying to get ahead of me a little bit, probably figured I would go here. James 1, verses 1 through 2. James 1 and verse 1, my brethren, this one's always fascinated me from way back when, reading it, coming to understand it a wee bit. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. The ability to hang in there and to overcome, which is the challenge, as we know from what Christ said, that he who endures to the end will be saved. Now let's go to 1 Peter 1, verses 6 through 9. Hebrews, James, now 1 Peter, these books in order here, talking about joy. One way or the other, I'm just picking the very key highlights for the sake of this sermonette. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, and I'm talking about Christians again. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Are you experiencing overwhelming circumstances in your life, even to the point of tears, is the question I ask you to begin with. Various trials? Well, sure. Health? Health threatening your very life? Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation, when at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. That's what Christians are to do, or commanded to do, and who should want them to do that very thing. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Just like Jesus Christ, we live this life, we tackle this life, we handle this life through the power of God's Holy Spirit. There's a verse in Romans 8:21, and maybe for context, I will go ahead and turn there. Romans 8. I'll pick it up in verse 19. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Something splendid and magnificent that's going to happen in the future. And everything is focused on that. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. Yeah, we're going to have problems. We're going to have to overcome them. This isn't the time of the kingdom of God. But because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I don't know. Key verse in the whole sermon that I would stumble here. Let me start all over in verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the focus point. Talk about joy, the glorious liberty of the children of God. To me, that's kind of one of those ultimate statements about joy in the Bible. And to conclude about joy, I want to say a couple of things here. Don't do things you will regret. Why? Because that will destroy joy. It will gnaw away at your life. And then finally, because it is a fruit of God's Holy Spirit, ask God for joy to be manifest in your life, for you to experience joy. Ask him for more if you want, just like we ask for more of God's Holy Spirit as we get where we can hand it. You know, we've all met that person who just radiates a wonderful outlook on life. You don't have to hear them talking. There's just something about them. Make it your goal to be that person using the power of God's Holy Spirit.